Welcome to Season 5 of the Blunderbus. I'm Ed Vaughan, and I've been driving the Blunderbus all around Australia for almost 18 months now, and I've met some fantastic leaders who have shared some painfully honest stories about their moments of failure and what they've learned. Since that time, the Blunderbus has become the world's most popular podcast about leadership failure recorded on a bus. It's been downloaded over 5,000 times and become the 59th most popular not-for-profit podcast in Ireland. And a big shout out to our 2 listeners in South Korea and our 19 listeners in Frankfurt. And no, I'm not kidding. This season is all about the Failing 5, the 5 most popular episodes in Blunderbus history. You may have heard them before, but here's a chance to enjoy them all over again. As the proverb says, failure is a dish best eaten cold. You've probably worked out by now that the magic secret when it comes to failure is the ability to reflect on mistakes and learn. And that's what I do in my work as a pastoral supervisor, which I do through my business, Generation Leadership. If you're looking for a pastoral supervisor to help you reflect on your work and ministry practice, I currently have some openings. So go to my website, generationleadership.com.au, to find out more. I'd love to work with you and provide a safe space to reflect on what you are currently doing and what you can learn. So check it out. And now, settle back and listen to this episode of The Failing 5. It's time to get on the Blunderbus, where we go on a journey into leadership failure. My name is Edward Vaughan. Join me as I travel far and wide on my special bus, the Blunderbus, and have honest conversations with great leaders about some of their greatest leadership disasters. On the Blunderbus, we think it's possible to learn much more from your moments of failure than your moments of success, if you know the magic secret. And we also know that failure can be fun, especially other people's. We'll be hearing about some great boofhead moments where practitioners provide us with the pleasure of hearing about how they did all the dumb things and the leadership lessons they took out of it. As I drive around on the Blunderbus, I'm on the search for the leader who has done more dumb things than I have. Could today be the day when we have found them? So today, I've driven the Blunderbus all the way to Vaucluse in Sydney's east to speak to Bishop Stuart Robinson, rector of South Head Anglican Parish, evangelist, pastor, and church planter. Welcome onto the Blunderbus, Stuart.
Thank you, Ed. It's great to be here. I love the view.
Hey, ever done anything wrong?
When you mentioned great leaders, this story might G-R-A-T-E on you in terms of leadership because it's an absolute star.
Okay, tell it. We love it. We love it. Tell us all about it.
So here's the deal. My wife and I had been pastoring a church in Europe for a number of years. We'd come back. I was working as a consultant and a group of dear people approached me and said, look, would you be involved part-time in helping us plant a church in inner Western Sydney? It was an urban redevelopment area. Mm-hmm. And the plan was 22,000 people would be living in 1 square kilometre. And these dear saints had been planning and praying for over 3 years.
Wow.
And so they invited Jane and I to come on board. So it was a real privilege to be a part of that church, and we were there for 3 years. I realised, though, that even though we had an attractive place to meet, which was the back of a real estate agent, we really were only connecting with people who knew Christ already. Mm. And so my great hope was to do something completely different and to start a ministry which would connect with complete outsiders.
So far, it sounded fantastic.
Look, it is sounding fantastic. And when I write the story up, that bit I'm really pleased with.
Okay.
But the next bit, which I'd actually described in a paper called I Killed the Church.
Wow.
And when I was speaking at a convention in New Zealand, some guy came up to me and said, I've never heard of you, but I have heard of that Stuart Robinson who killed a church. Have you ever heard of him?
I thought you were a church planner, not a church killer.
And that's exactly right.
So what happened?
So we decided we'd run kind of like a bistro type thing where every Tuesday night I would invite some very, very gifted and able musicians to come along. We would provide beautiful food, Chardonnay and other kinds of drinks. And then people invited their friends to what was almost like a cabaret or nightclub. In fact, we had little tables and there was dimmed lighting with mood music playing all the time in between the different sets. And then I would speak to people about current issues, speak a little bit about Christianity, and then invite dialogue and heckling. And it went backwards and forwards. And so the space, the little space, fitted about 40 people. So it was very intimate. And it was filled pretty much every Tuesday night.
It was fantastic. I can't see the failure.
Well, it gets even worse because a couple of my relatives came along, and one of them came along with her dog in a bag. It was a small dog. But she also brought a number of her friends from the gay community who loved it so much that they started bringing their friends as well. It was sensational.
So what are you doing on the blunderbuss, Stuart? This sounds fantastic.
So we were connecting, Ed, with complete outsiders. It was just breathtaking. Indigenous people were coming along as well.
Wow.
I was just loving every moment of it. And then I thought, because someone in authority asked me, when will you get them into a Bible study group? And I thought, yes, because clearly that would be a measure of success.
Right.
Getting
right.
these complete outsiders
yeah.
into a Bible study group.
Right.
So after 6 or 7 weeks, I said to everybody, next week we'll be starting a program called Christianity Explained.
Okay.
Now, it's a great course, by the way.
Sure. Get me wrong. Yeah.
Christianity Explained, and I'm really looking forward to your coming next week. So from 40 people, the following week, you know how many turned up, Ed?
I'm going to guess.
Have a guess, Ed.
None.
Absolutely none.
You killed it stone dead.
Killed it stone dead. And when I spoke to this relative of mine and said, you weren't there, I was expecting an affable response. She was furious.
With you?
With me. She said, look, we trusted you. And I invited my friends along who knew nothing about Christianity. And they came along and they loved it. And she said, I felt betrayed.
Oh, Stuart, this is breaking my heart.
It's a terrible, terrible story.
Oh, Stuart.
And other people who brought their friends along also felt like they'd been betrayed or indeed misled, I think, might be another way of putting it.
Oh, Stuart.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you reflected on this, what would you say that you did wrong?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I first of all, was running according to my agenda, which was I need to move these people into some kind of process evangelism course.
Yeah.
And I discounted the power of relationships.
Yeah.
So these people are getting to know each other as well, and they're enjoying that, what we describe as fellowship and friendship. And I killed that stone dead. But the other big learning was this. I wasn't serving an audience of one. I was more concerned about other people who were in my grandstands and what that particular personality or leader would think of me doing this kind of thing with these kinds of people and not doing a Bible study with them.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like, you know, there is a right way to do this and you imposed that because of the expectations of people outside, not the needs of the people inside the group.
Exactly right. So my response was not a loving response. Mine was a performance response, which was those people I hold in high regard, or at least held in high regard, how would they be thinking of me now? Because I'm not actually getting down to the business of teaching the Bible.
Yeah. And so somehow this is about the judgments of other people.
The judgments of other people is a really good way to describe it. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Stuart, that's a heartbreaking story.
Shocking story. Shocking story. So here I am speaking at this convention in New Zealand. This guy's going on about, I read this article about this guy really screwed up. You're not that guy, are you? As a matter of fact, I am. I'm about to teach you all about this stuff because I'm an expert.
So what did you learn out of this?
Yeah, so the learning was that you need to build relationships. It's going to take time, particularly when people have no real grasp of Christianity.
No.
And so they actually need to see loving leadership in action, servant leadership. And so my task was to bless them and to love them and to care for them, to welcome them. The Bible uses the word refresh, which is helping them to unburden, enabling them to experience Christ's hospitality through God's people. And by moving them into something that I've not given them any advance warning or notice of, it was just deception.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And let's, you know, emphasize the point. Courses like Christianity Explored, Christianity Explained, Christianity Introduced, Christianity Alpha, whatever.
Yep.
They're good courses.
Wonderful courses. And I still use them to this very day.
Right. And so it's not about that being them being bad things. It's something about the right time, the right context, done in the right way, all of that sort of thing.
Exactly right. It's got to do with trust and integrity, none of which I described.
Have you ever repeated this mistake?
I have not repeated that mistake.
Okay.
And I've resisted pressure from outsiders to say, you need to be moving people into this or that.
Yeah.
And so the courses that we run now are all relational, and they're around food, and hospitality plays a huge part.
Yeah.
And very often now we let the courses, well, take their course.
Yeah, right. Time. Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, to probably be on the scope of our conversation now, but to think, why do people need other people to do, you know, why do we have to make people do the formula? Or, yeah, I wonder what that's right. about. Anyway, that's a rhetorical question.
Well, it is. It's a great question, but I also believe that God sovereignly calls people himself, but I was getting in the way back then. In fact, I've repented of that, and I pray that God in his mercy will bring other people into those dear people's lives
yeah.
and fill the gap that I created.
Oh, okay, so how do you see failure now?
It's painful
yes.
when I reflect on it. And when I'm my best self, I thank God for his mercy and grace for giving me other opportunities.
Mm.
But it's a very painful thing.
Yeah.
And I look back on that and sometimes I feel physically ill. And every time I see this relative
yes.
who is nowhere near a church at the moment,
no.
I say, Lord, have mercy because I got that so wrong.
Stuart, can I thank you for sharing this very vulnerable,
honest.
Well, only because it feels like something that I have done too. Yeah, yeah, but the pain is, you know,
very real, still real. Yeah.
Thank you.
My privilege.
Thanks to Stuart Robinson for sharing about his leadership mistakes and what he has learned.